Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
One of the most interesting events there was a guy from the insurance industry, it might have been AIG, talking about, okay, folks, let's think about what we're doing here and think about the liability now. Because the self-driving car gets into an accident. Is it the manufacturer of the car? Is it the developer of the AI, the artificial intelligence that goes into the system? Is it the driver himself or herself? It's pretty fascinating, but I want one.
I don't want to see them on the road.
No.
I'd rather see Reginald driving the car.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And the siege of my body by this cold continues. I am coughing and sneezing, and honestly, because it's now 2 weeks, it's just debilitating. I don't feel bad, you know, but I can't imagine how people can sneeze this much. I mean, I think I've exhausted the amount of sneezes for 10 years in 2 weeks. Chris Saliza is here. Gary Braun is here. Nigel will do the news. Michael Kornheiser is still in court, still at a trial, has not yet gone to the jury.
Jury duty to clarify.
Jury duty. He may not be here tomorrow either. I really don't know.
Foreman material. I'm calling the shot here.
I agree.
That kid is foreman
no
material.
No chance.
Good
no
voice.
Chance.
He's got a good voice.
No chance. We're at chatter.
Are you even tempered?
There's a lot of people here for breakfast today. We open at 7 o'clock in the morning for breakfast.
Call that the
that is a round of applause.
Yeah. Saliza effect.
Yes. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. A couple of quirky things have happened. First of all, we want to wish Kim Braun happy birthday today.
Yes.
Happy birthday,
today
Kim.
Is her birthday.
My lovely wife, 29.
Yeah.
50.
One of the people here today comes from Virginia, and his name is Andy. And Andy, and Gary, why don't you pick up the story of Andy?
So yesterday morning, I am heading out to my office. I don't know how you would go there from PTI, but for me, it's 270.
We got to go to Virginia.
Yeah, and then toll road out towards the Reston, Herndon area.
And
on the toll road, I see a... I should know what this was. It was a gray SUV
of sorts.
That's a
Toyota RAV4,
my
friend.
Toyota RAV4.
I had one of those.
Okay.
And with the Virginia license plate, it's driving up ahead of me at a decent rate of speed.
90.
With a Virginia license plate, capital LCHZRIE.
Lechizerie.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that says Lechizerie. So I'm driving behind it thinking... Well, what I'm trying to come up with a rational reason other than the obvious one for someone to have that license plate, thinking, what else could it possibly be? And I'm trying to catch up, and I catch up and I take a picture, obviously. That was the most important thing. I need to document it for you. And then I said, well, I gotta see this imbecile. You know, so I pull up beside him, and I'm thinking that I will give him the salute, right? That's what you do.
You only have one arm.
So, yeah, I only have one arm, and I'm using it to drive. And as I pull up...
How did you take the picture, then?
Andy's a pretty voice activated. Yeah, Andy's pretty intimidating looking guy, strapping
guy.
Young fellow.
Big guy.
And I pull up, and he's obviously embroiled in some business, talking on the phone or something, and I see him, and... I'm kind of holding the wheel with my one bad arm and thinking about getting up my good arm. And this doesn't feel like a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Like, what if this license plate means something else and this guy goes full road rage?
Ooh.
Yeah. So I wimped out and just went to the office and later in the day tweeted a picture of this thing saying I would not have believed this had I not seen it with my own eyes. And sure enough, last night, Andy tweets back at me with a picture of his car in his garage and saying, in fact, that was my car.
He's here today.
Can I come in and get a sticker tomorrow? And I said, no, I didn't think we had any stickers.
We have no
apparently
stickers.
We don't. But
we took care
of them.
You can come in and buy breakfast.
But it was...
Furlough breakfast still available?
Awesome. Awesome to see. Awesome to see.
You have more news.
He explained to us, I guess, that he did explain to you, I should say, that he did this how long ago? A year and a half ago?
Yeah, yeah.
As kind of a sociological experiment? And what kind of response has he gotten?
A lot of people give him the finger.
Yeah.
Which is really
that
good.
Is so great.
It's a salute.
That's
it's
pretty
the
cool.
You have more personal news.
If you don't mind.
No.
Yeah, Michael last night sent me from the...
Chris sighed heavily because Chris wants that personal news.
From the mailbag account. And I will...
more Gary.
Very low energy today, Chris Saliza.
I'm just going to go stand
somewhere. So Michael emailed me from the mailbag account here. I guess he got an email from a Jesse Friedman, whose name rings a bell. I think Jesse may have Baruch College MBA, class of 15. I think maybe he has emailed us before. And this is, it's just weird. It's uncomfortable for me, and I don't want to read the email. But long story short, Jesse, near as I can tell, someone will clarify this for us, put together a Littles Facebook group, or maybe there's a Littles Facebook group. I believe there is.
I don't subscribe to the Facebook, so I don't know.
Yes, you're not a Facebook subscriber.
I'm not.
I am a Facebook subscriber.
You don't get that on the internet?
I don't get
I'm not
it.
Part of the Littles Facebook
group.
It's
not part of my overall...
Your package. Your overall internet package.
Yeah, with Verizon.
Well, can I just read this? It's easier for me to talk. The whole thing makes me very uncomfortable. As I said to Michael, there are no words. And then I corrected myself and I said, actually, there are a lot of words. I'm just sort of speechless. So I will just read Jesse's email, which reads, the Littles Facebook group has been so impressed with SG3's dedication after his surgery. He's shown more resiliency than another G3 after surgery. We wanted to show our gratitude. One idea that was kicked around was a gift basket from Courtney the Goddess, but we weren't sure how that would fly with Mrs. SG3. So we decided on a Beer of the Month Club membership, assuming he can cheer with his left arm and can responsibly take his pain meds with a beer in the house, which I can assure you that I can do. When I started the fundraiser, I was expecting to raise enough money for a month or two, but the Littles stepped up, and we raised way more than that. We had 63 Littles donate a total of $768.10. And to be honest, we started thinking that giving Gary $768.11, actually 11 cents, he said here, worth of beer was poorly spent, and I would agree. And I will just cut through the chase and say, so they gave me a Beer of the Month membership for a year that left several hundred dollars, close to $300 remaining, which someone, I guess, apparently in his Facebook group remembered a charity that's important to me, which is Leukemia Research Foundation, which is online at allbloodcancers.org. I lost my dad to a very rare blood cancer a year ago in December. And they're making a donation with the remaining money in that amount. And it's just, of all the stupid and wonderful and crazy things that the Littledom has done, obviously, I mean, I am without words. I mean, I'm not worthy.
It's very, very lovely. You don't have to do it.
I know.
Nobody
it's
needs
crazy.
The money, you know, but it's very, very nice.
Part of me wants to discourage it.
By the same token,
it's exactly how I feel.
It's so sweet.
I mean, I sort of feel like I don't want it, you know, give it all to charity, but at the same time, it's beer.
Very nice.
And I feel a little bit, you know, those feelings I think are exacerbated by the fact that most of these people are unemployed and or homeless.
Yes.
And I don't say that to be mean. I only say that because I've met many of them.
Yeah.
Total degenerates.
It's honestly, so to Jesse, and I don't know if he did this
by himself. To be fair, most of them are between jobs. It could be years.
Yeah.
But they're between jobs.
Nothing with my parents. It's a temporary thing.
Yes. So I definitely wanted to thank them. It was totally unnecessary. I don't need, you know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't want to be here.
It's the connective tissue.
It is. It's really touching.
It is amazing to me. I talk about it all the time that I'm amazed, and maybe you think I'm not, but I really am. I want to thank Jerry Humphreys, the regional manager for J. Lore, the winery. He came in the other day and gave me a very nice bottle of wine.
Mm.
So it's, which is here somewhere, unless somebody took it.
Drank it.
Or maybe I brought it home. I don't even remember at this point. But it's very nice. So along these lines, along the lines of the connective tissue, I want to mention an email pal of mine whose name is George Mitrovic, and he lives in San Diego. And I met him a few years ago because he's part of an organization that sort of salutes Boston writers. And when Bob Ryan had his book published, it was George Mitrovic who organized a speaking engagement downtown Capitol Hill for Bob Ryan.
That's nice. I introduced
Bob Ryan. Do you remember that at all? It's about 4 or 5 years ago for Ryan's
book. I remember when he was in town for something.
Anyway, vaguely. Anyway, so he also said, and George commented on, he's a tremendous baseball guy, and I yield to him on all matters of baseball, and publishes a series of baseball notes. It turns out that his son Tim, listens to this show, lives here, works on Capitol Hill. George listens in San Diego, because this is the way it works.
This is what we do.
Yeah, the way it works. And he writes, I want to call your attention to the fact that next Wednesday, so that's in 5 or 6 days, I'll be in Boston for the Red Sox 17th annual birthday tribute to Jackie Robinson, which I chair. The Sox are the only MLB team that honors Jackie on his birthday, January 31st. because in 1945 he had a bogus tryout with the team at Fenway when there was no intent to sign him. And in fact, the Sox were the last team to sign a black player, Pumpsy Green, 12 years after Jackie began playing for the Dodgers in 47. We do this because the Sox had a racist history, and the new owners, John Henry, Tom Werner, and Larry Lucchino, wanted to confront that, and the Jackie Robinson birthday tribute began. And in 05, Jackie received posthumously from Bush 43 the Congressional Gold Medal because of these efforts, which is very cool. It's a very cool thing.
Yeah, it is. No, it's a great
I'm not choking up. I'm actually choking
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right.
It's not emotion. Yeah. I was coughing. But George is... So, George, I wanted to begin the show today. Is that you?
Yeah, it was my computer, yeah.
Sorry. I wanted another guy on the show.
Sorry, that's my fault.
I wanted to begin the show today with the inductees to the Hall of Fame, the guys who were voted in.
Yep.
Chipper Jones. I don't think we would argue Chipper Jones.
Larry?
No, one would argue.
I mean, Chipper
Jones.
You mean
argue that he shouldn't be there?
Yeah, he was an MVP. He was a great player. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to argue him at all. I don't think anyone will argue Vlad Guerrero. I don't.
No, he was good.
I mean, he played... Not in the most glamorous of circumstances, the most glamorous of cities, but he's a great player. I think you could argue a little bit Jim Thome and Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman, now my friend George knows Trevor Hoffman a little bit and says he's a wonderful guy and deserving, so I'll back away from that. Jim Thome has an enormous amount of home runs and was a giant of a man. But I don't know that anybody ever said of Jim Thome, he's the greatest player in the game. He's a great player. You know, he was a very good player. For a long period of time, did a lot as a DH. I never led his... I don't think he played in the World Series. Maybe he did. I don't think he was ever thought of as a great leader on a team. And he gets in on the first ballot with a very high percentage of the vote. So, I don't want to be foolish and argue against these. But my point would be, and it's taking up for what Barry Zwarluga said yesterday, I don't know that you can have a Hall of Fame and not acknowledge... Pete Rose, who has more hits than anybody ever.
Yep.
I don't know that you can have a Hall of Fame and not acknowledge. Would you say, would anybody say that Trevor Hoffman as a pitcher was as good as Roger Clemens? You'd never say that.
No.
I don't care how many drugs Roger Clemens took. In the era before he started taking drugs.
He was great.
Barry Bonds, how could you say that Jim Thome, who of the people who were just elected, comes closest in number of home runs to Barry Bonds. How could anybody argue that Jim Thome was anywhere near the player Barry Bonds
no
is?
One would argue that.
So this is my argument again. Put them in, put it on the plaque.
Yeah.
Be inclusive of the history of baseball. And I mean, I don't want to really hear the argument that, there's a lot of reprobates in the Hall of Fame. I don't care who's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't care. But the next group of people you put in the great players. It's not the whole of the very good.
The Thome argument is interesting. I'm biased toward him because he's from Waterbury, Connecticut.
And that's fine.
But the only really truly outstanding... He played 22 years.
Did he ever win the MVP?
He hit 612 home runs.
Right. Tony, you said no one said he's the greatest player. No. Do you ever remember, even at the end of his career, anyone go, there goes a Hall of Famer?
Five-time All-Star.
Well, when he got over 500 home runs and then 600.
And 600.
Yeah, 600. Said, yeah. No, he's got to be in.
Yeah.
But he's not Barry Bonds.
No,
Barry Bonds isn't in.
And he had that stretch in the early 2000s with Cleveland where...
I'm looking at his numbers.
Big hitter.
In 2001, 49 home runs, 124 RBIs. In 2002, 52 home runs, 118 RBIs. 03, 47 home runs, 131. 04, 42, 105.
Great.
While hitting
Don Mattingly has Don Mattingly has those numbers over a five-year stretch, and he's not in. He's never getting in. And Don Mattingly
has 12.
Doesn't have 612. Yeah. I'm just...
Yep.
And I'm not arguing against Jim Thome. I guess I'm arguing.
Well, you're arguing for Bonds.
Right. So Barry is
Bonds
the and Clemens. So Bonds
and Keith
and
Oberman
Clemens
will be
were,
angry at me.
Bonds and Clemens were both in the neighborhood of 50 something percent. I want to say I'm checking that, but so Clemens got 57.3, Bonds got 56.4. So to your original point, like how can you have this room and say, this guy wasn't as good as this. So what are these no votes on those guys for at this point? Just about you hurt my feelings?
You cheated.
I mean,
well,
you cheated.
Question. Is it, I know it is that, but if either of them were at all conciliatory or people that the writers liked either in their career or after, both of them are hugely
You're right.
Anti-media.
So was Jack Morris. And Jack Morris had to wait for a veterans committee.
Right. And he didn't have that hang. I mean, to me, it's the combination of that. If it was a great. Do you think A-Rod will get in? I mean, I think he will. Even though he's
I think Bonds and I think Bonds has to get in ahead of A-Rod.
So I mean, A-Rod's not beloved by the baseball community, but he's not reviled in the same way that a Barry Bonds or.
Now that he's doing television, there is an overt attempt at rehab.
Yes,
but I thought Bonds made that when he was a hitting coach.
So, but if it's just about being a cheat. Which I grant you that, you know, the only grounds that people are not voting for those guys are is that. But so why the tremendous, and I'm not suggesting he was the same player, but why the tremendous disparity between those guys and a Sosa who got 7% of the vote?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just a cheat, too. So I guess
he's not as great a player. Nobody would say he's as great a player.
He's only getting 8% because of the numbers, and that's people who are saying, I don't care that he cheated.
Where
the other guys are getting some votes.
They care that he cheated. It's easier to make the case that he's a cheat. I think what happens here is that the people who vote think of themselves justifiably as guardians of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do.
As they are. I mean,
they do.
And I think Sosa's like a rich man's Brady Anderson, which is unlike
three times 60 and over.
But
nobody ever did that.
Unlike Bonds and Clemens, who quite clearly were great prior to demonstrated usage of steroids. Sosa was good pre-steroids, not 60 home runs. I mean, Brady Anderson hit 52 home runs.
Mark McGwire never.
Were you surprised to learn only the fifth time that it was a four-person or greater class?
Yeah, because to me, not every name rolls off your tongue and you say automatically they should be in. Not every name. All right, we will take a break. Jay Billis,
that's
will join us when we return. I'm going to attempt, even though I'm sick, I'm going to attempt to do a read here. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a new sponsor, Brook Linen.
Yes.
Michael has the Brook Linen in his house. It's beautiful. He showed me a picture of it. He would talk about it today if he could, but he's in court.
And you're going to plow through this, even though you're still. Maybe Jesse Friedman can take up a collection for you.
No. I'm going to try.
He's going to do it. He's doing it, Gary.
You spend a third of your life in your sheets. They make a difference with how you sleep. Start getting better sleep with better sheets. Brooklinen.com, highest quality sheets, no big markup. You can upgrade your nightly routine, help you feel more well-rested every day. I have to tell the Brooklinen people, when my throat gets better, I'll do a better read. It was founded in 2014 by the husband and wife team of Vicky and Rich Fulop. Their philosophy, beautiful home essentials, no crazy prices, no unnecessary markups and fees. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. I had absolutely no idea about that. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. With over 12,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets named the winner of the best online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. I have to say, I didn't know there was a category. Best of online bedding. I didn't know. Bedding, not off-track betting. There are versatile colors and patterns, and you can mix and match to complement any decor. This is luxury bedding underpriced. You have to try these sheets today. I love my Brooklinen sheets. It wants me to say that. And I will say that. I haven't used them yet, but I can't imagine
Michael loves
that I'm not going to love them.
Yes.
Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code TonyK at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. Now, if you use these sheets for 59 days, and you decide you don't want them, nobody else is getting your sheets.
I'm pretty sure.
So don't worry about it.
It's called pulling a Lou Russell.
They send those to Nigel.
At that point, I'll take your sheets.
I'm
happy to use
that. That is confidence by Brooklinen to me. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code at brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen, linen, brooklinen.com, promo code Tony K. They're so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Who sent this to us?
Dave Smith? Yes.
This is a piece entitled Jewels. This is from a release from 1981. The piece features...
Is this old guy?
No, Dave Smith. They're old guys now. Dave Smith on vibraphone and marimba. Steve Halter on piano. Steve Halter of Steve the Sycophant Halter? Is that
that's
possible?
That's what I thought. I'm not sure, though.
The group was called Squash. The band played in Los Angeles in the late 70s and early 80s. And after watching the Lou Grant show, there was a brief mention of the band as some people from the office on the show said they were going out to see a group called Squash at a local bar. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
That's cool. You know, that's very cool.
I went to college to play the marimba.
Did you get a marimba scholarship?
Yeah, absolutely. Chuck Todd, French horn scholarship to college.
Very, very nice. Is that true?
100%. No, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jay Billis joins us now. Jay just had a basketball scholarship to college.
Yeah.
But imagine,
I guess that's okay.
You could be the world's tallest marimba player. wouldn't you think that would be fun?
Any instrument that I could have played, I would have. I was excellent on the triangle and very good on the cymbals, but that was about it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, just anybody can get a basketball scholarship, but if Chuck Todd of Meet the Press actually got a French horn scholarship to college, that's fantastic.
Just trying to one-up, Jay.
Is that true? Is that true?
Saliza says this is true.
Fake news. No, it is legit true.
He had a French horn scholarship.
Yes, he was in the band. He went to the U.
He was in the marching... He was in the marching band?
Yes, I believe that is... I mean, I know he had a French horn scholarship. I believe he was in the marching band.
Jay, we don't believe anybody gives French horn scholarships. Do you? I don't believe
Are there pictures of him in the hot tub with that dude and the French horn?
That was Vegas.
He was probably a one and done. He was a one and done marching band.
It's true. You don't stay...
Making a mockery of education.
Jay's right. You don't stay when you got French horn skills like that. You're up to the next level.
That's amazing. All right, let me ask you. First of all, let me apologize to you because I have this terrible cough and sneezing cold. It's not like you're going to get it over the phone, but I'm going to sound much worse than I normally do. So I apologize. Let's start with Trae Young, who I knew nothing about until this year and didn't. You know, sometimes, like with Duke signing the kid Zion Williamson, you go, wow, okay, I've seen him on TV. I didn't know Trae Young. Did everybody know Trae Young? Did everybody know he was this good?
No. I saw him in high school. And Tony, similar, and this is why I think the Steph Curry comparison is fair. I saw Trae Young play in high school, and I thought he was very good. But he was so small and slight. I didn't see him being, player of the year candidate or anything like that. But I saw Steph Curry play in high school, and I wasn't sure that he could play major college ball. And I thought he could really shoot it. I thought Davidson was the exact right place for him to go.
Right.
And it turned out it was the right place. But I'm just saying, it wasn't like I was going, geez, Steph Curry should be at North Carolina, or he should be at Duke or Indiana. So I think Trae Young is the closest thing we've seen to Steph Curry since Curry came out of Davidson. And he plays the same way. He has very much – if you look at his numbers – and compare him to Steph Curry 2009, his junior year. They're almost identical, except Trae Young, his assist rate is three times that of Curry's. But everything else is virtually identical.
So what is interesting about him is that he has this two- or three-game stretch where he takes literally 87 shots in three games, which is an enormous amount of shots, even for Kobe Bryant. He turns the ball over like 28 times in three games, which is 9+. And then he gets some criticism, probably from within and without, and he says, you know what, I'm going to change. And against Kansas, he takes a total of 9 shots, and with the ball in his hand all the time, he has 5 turnovers. And his assist ratio is...
And still scored 26.
I think 2-1. You've been a coach in your life. What does that tell you about a kid?
Well, it tells you that he is open to getting better, and that he doesn't believe his way is the only way. And look, Tony, you've seen this a million times in a million different sports. When you have a great coach like Lon Kruger, and he has, he's basically, I think Trae Young, he's basically like a sports car that can go 150, 200 miles an hour. Now, most of the cars that he's playing with can't drive as fast as he can on the highway. So he can do some things the other cars can't do. They can all drive slow in the neighborhood. And Trae Young needed to learn how to drive in the neighborhood.
Right.
Downshift and learn how to come to a stop and all that stuff. And Lon Kruger was letting him go 200 miles an hour, and he could always dial him down. the hard part is how do you get a guy who can only drive? How do you dial people up? And dialing Trae Young down is not that, I don't think, that hard. You just don't want to take away the good things he's doing while you're trying to dial that back a little bit. But I'm not surprised that the kid is open to coaching. I'm surprised he did it. You know, he was able to make an adjustment so quickly and go from one day looking reckless to the next day looking like, hey, you know, hold my baby while you cut this diamond in the back of the car thing. I mean, he was fantastic against Kansas.
This is interesting. That's a very interesting analogy that you make, because it reminds me of something that the head golf pro at Columbia Country Club, Bob Dolan, says when he teaches kids. He's got a very, very good junior program. And he says, I tell him, swing as hard as you can at it. Hit it as far as you can, because we can always get you to hit it shorter. You know, and that's what you're saying, that is the gift of Trae Young is that speed. And that's what sets him apart. And the other stuff is learnable. I would ask, and I don't know if he's a one-and-done kid in the sense that I don't know that he came into school as a one-and-done kid. But it strikes me that most one-and-done kids are probably not as receptive to coaching because they think that they're great right now. Or do I have that wrong?
I think you do. I think it is still rare that you've got a player that does not want to be coached and will not listen and all that. All these guys want to be good. All we're dealing with now, Tony, like we had, it's almost like since the one and done, guys our age, like you and me, have forgotten that players used to be a pain in the ass when they stayed for 4 years.
Yeah, sure.
There were guys that were uncoachable then and thought they knew everything then. Now, do you still have guys? Of course you do. But these guys now that I'm seeing are better than ever. They're better players. They're more worldly when they come into college. They have been coached before, and they are way more skilled than players ever were, and they're way more in tune with where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more prepared now, and they're more in tune with where they want to be. Now, the fact that they've seen there, I think one of the issues with the sort of the one and done deal is that, you know, when I was coming out of high school, I was competitive with my peers over, well, wait a minute, that guy's being talked about as All-American. I'm as good as he is, or I'm better than he is. I hung 30 on that guy.
Yeah.
You know, now their peers are going to the NBA. So
yeah.
Now that's what everybody's thinking about. I don't think it's any different than what we saw years and years ago. It's just that nobody left back then. You didn't have to compare yourself to that, nor did you think about that. The steps were laid out, and now the steps are different. Now you can skip a step. You know, you can hop over a few steps, and it's recognized, and it's okay, and these guys are all expecting to do it.
You mentioned what a good coach Lon Kruger was. It seems to me it is a great benefit for a point guard to play for someone who was a point guard, right? I mean, that's got to help.
Yes. Also, I think it's extraordinarily helpful, I think, to play for somebody like Lon who's had NBA experience.
Right.
Not because there's some magic formula in the NBA, but I think Lon would even tell you he's probably a different coach now than he was before he went to the NBA. He's much more patient. And he is the Lon Kruger. You know him. He's one of the nicest people
I've ever met. Yeah,
but he's one of the the most patient people and understanding. And he doesn't get overheated over stuff that doesn't matter. And a lot of college coaches do. They get overheated over stuff that doesn't matter a bit, because with a number of college coaches, it's all about them. And with Lon, it's not about him. Like you may know this already, but do you know that all of his practices are open?
No.
They're all open to the public. So the day before they played, or every day, so the day before they played Kansas, his practice, any Kansas fan that was going to the game could have gone to Oklahoma's practice. If Bill Self wanted to go, he would. I don't think he would have had a problem with it. You can sit in the stands and watch practice all you want to. And the players are used to it. I think it's a wonderful vibe around their program. Now, opening practice versus closed practice, does that mean one team's going to win, the other team's not going to? It doesn't have anything to do with that. But I think that vibe goes to the players where they're comfortable and they want to achieve and they're not afraid of failing. It's really a neat environment he's fostered there.
Let me shift gears completely. As long as we're talking about Lon Kruger as a coach, there are two people who I've known a long time and like a lot. One is Jim Larrañaga at Miami, and one is Bruce Pearl now at Auburn. You're a lawyer, and you understand the NCAA and you know basketball. How are they still coaching? Weren't they named in this particular FBI sting investigation?
Well, they were. Their names were in there, but all you know, the evidence from just the charging documents and the indictments were that people who were indicted said, "Well, you know, we need to loop Larrañaga into this." Or we, you know, Pearl only worked for, you know, had a guy working for him, Chuck Person,
who was
taking money from an agent to help steer players to the agent. That's the allegation. So that's a little bit different than the part with the shoe company that was asked to provide money to get a player. That's a career ender. Having somebody on your staff like Sean Miller did and Andy Enfield at USC, having somebody on your staff that may have been on the take from somebody, you know, it's not likely to me that at least I don't think that their head coaches were likely to know about something like that, an arrangement like that. They could have known. I don't think they would have. And that's not something that is that I have heard much about.
So there are legitimate legal protections for these people, and I should not rush to that judgment.
Yes.
Well, okay.
I don't think just because somebody says something, it makes it true. In other words,
right.
Like take the Patino thing when one of his assistants is on tape saying with an Adidas guy, hey, we need to get this money to this recruit. And the Adidas guy says we need to get Patino involved. There's something to that effect. Because he says that doesn't make me believe that Rick Pitino knew about that. That's sort of like hearsay evidence.
Okay.
It doesn't automatically mean that. And I do think if there were any evidence that these head coaches were in on that, they would have been indicted. And that's one of the things. Because if you go the other way on that, there's another way of looking at this, Tony, and that is. You know, if you look at the Southern District of New York, the U.S. Attorney's Office, that's where a lot of U.S. attorneys sort of use press conferences in order to audition for other jobs, like mm-hmm. governor of the state.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the people they've indicted, nobody has any money. And so, theoretically, none of them can fight back. And if they had indicted Rick Pitino or Jim, those guys have money. They can fight. And I'm not sure that some of these things are crimes, and that's being adjudicated right now. But the other part is, I'll be interested to see how this goes because the acting U.S. attorney that brought these charges initially is no longer there. There's a new U.S. attorney. And not that this isn't a big deal, but, I mean, it's a big deal to basketball and the NCAA, I'm sure. But U.S. attorneys aren't thinking this is the biggest thing on their plate. They've got other fish to fry.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean.
I'll be interested to see, like they said, Jun Kim stood there, the acting U.S. attorney, and said, this is the tip of the iceberg.
No, it isn't.
Well, if you, I don't think it is either, but if you say that, you have a responsibility to show us the iceberg.
The FBI is not going to, they're not going to do this. That's exactly right. Everybody was panicked about that. And I remember going on PTI and saying, they're not going to pursue this all over the country. The FBI's got many more important things to do than this. Anyway, I'll get you out of here on this because it's of a piece,
sure.
I guess. The NBA now wants a percent. They want betting, and they want 1% of all the bets that are out there. I don't think pros will throw games now because I think that there's so much money for pro players. Maybe I'm being naive and maybe I'm wrong. I think the danger has always been in college where people don't get any money. What do you think of the NBA wanting to get involved in gambling, and will it necessarily, if it works, bleed down to college?
I think it will. I think gambling's gambling, and I look at gambling like prohibition with drinking. People are gambling anyway, and most everybody I know gambles. All my friends gamble. It's for most people, it is a harmless vice like having a drink is. Some people do have a problem with it. There are dangers that go with it. There are dangers that go with drinking, drunk driving, you name it. There are all kinds of dangers. There are dangers that there are lesser dangers that go with gambling, but there are dangers with that nonetheless. But it's happening now. And my thing is, if it's happening, we're not going to stop it from happening. Let's regulate it, and let's put it out in the open because one thing I know for sure, like most every gambling issue I know about that has come up, it's usually Vegas that roots it out because they know where they know how the money's
yes.
being bet.
Yes,
and so having it regulated to me is not a big deal. Could we have a gambling? We can always have that. That's possible, but it's possible in anything. Like we have bank robberies, we don't outlaw banks. You know, we need to be a little bit more open to. I think the NBA is doing the right thing here. Reasonable people could disagree. Gambling, then don't gamble. But you know, if you tell no one they can gamble, I mean, you know, this puritanical stuff about gambling,
they're not going to work
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got lines in, like, we're talking about the line during the game now.
Yeah.
Remember when that used to be taboo? It was like,
sure.
It was like showing the streaker coming on the field. You know, we never show somebody who comes on the field during a game because we don't want to encourage it. But we show people storming the court. And we show people, and then we talk about the lines. We talk about gambling all the time. And then, you know, how can we do all that and then say, well, but it's a bad thing. You know, people are doing it, and that's one big reason why people watch sports is gambling.
Jay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll hopefully have you on the PTI show soon because we like that.
Always a pleasure. Hope you feel better.
Thank you. Jay Billis, boys and girls. Bye-bye. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with news. Nigel will do the news. My voice catches.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Do you
I
feel
hear
like
it.
You have a tickle back there? Is that the
no,
issue? Like when you...
I don't know what I...
It just kind of fades
I
off every
thought
once in a while.
It would be done by now.
Did you try drinking a little bit of this?
Maple syrup?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
From the Maple Guild.
Completely insane. All right.
Cha-ching.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I feel like Mariano Rivera coming in from the bullpen to close out this show. Well, at least for this read, anyway.
Let's play some music for
I
you.
Mean, way to talk yeah. about, way to think of yourself.
This yeah. is...
I'm like the greatest closer of all time. Here's the read.
This is the Casper read. You've heard us talking about Casper for some time now. That's because Casper makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest at affordable prices. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, well, if you're lucky, so you should be more comfortable. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Their breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. Casper isn't only a mattress company. They also offer a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. Not only are you getting the best sleep experience, but Casper overall purchasing experience is hassle-free. They deliver right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box. Plus, free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Unfortunately, not to my home country of England. For listeners of this fine podcast, The Tony Kornheiser Show, Casper is offering a $50 rebate towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. The only way to get $50 towards select mattresses is by going to casper.com/Tony and using promo code Tony at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Been dreaming of the day of judgment. This is sent to us by Steve Smith, who owns a boutique winery in Napa and has sent us 6 bottles of wine, which is very, very sweet.
Very nice. Thank you, Steve.
He's also spent the last 20 years in the music industry, and he has the great fortune of managing Glenn Phillips, the lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket. He's attached
Sprocket.
2 of the songs, including this one, Held Up, one from his 2005 record with the show appropriate title of Duck and Cover. And
which
we have, of course.
Yes. And we have played that song before.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
We just had a little spill. It's all right.
Everything's fine.
Show goes on.
Everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
Duck and cover. Get away from the windows.
Nigel, take your clothes off and immediately wipe that up.
I dropped the water. That's I spilled right. the water. It's okay.
Not just pushing the water and ice onto the floor where it belongs. That's
well,
fine.
We
managed.
Soak your pants off and soak
okay.
it up.
It's all right. Anyway, thank you very much to Steve
too
Smith.
Too bad Bannon's not here.
Smith
we used one of his
Devereaux
shirts.
Devereaux Wines. Right? So we have these wines.
Yes, we do.
I'm very, very grateful for that. And I'll get more water down the road. It's not
yes.
the worst thing that ever happened. If people want to send us music and not necessarily Toad the Wet Sprocket music, which is... very well cataloged. How would they do that, Nigel?
They can send us their jingles at jingles@TonyKornheiserShow.com. We appreciate everybody's contributions. We have an amazing amazingly talented listenership.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. And by the way, if people are interested in doing a podcast, we do have a podcast studio where people come in and do it. Just reach out to us at This Show Stinks. We would love for you to come in and take your show.
We are not just a full-service for-profit restaurant. We are a full-service for-profit podcast
fully
studio.
Fully functional. Broadcast quality.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I would hope so. We're broadcasting in it, right? Yes.
You know, so we would love to hear from you.
Podcast quality.
Everyone gets to see me spill water all over myself.
That's why you come. That's why you come to the show. That's why you come.
See,
get
these
the
people who are here, they think, oh, he's just did that for us. I do that every day.
Yeah, that's right.
I spill the water every single day.
Yeah.
This is the news segment, and I need to lead in with something that I found out this morning. I wasn't aware of last night. And that's Binghamton. Binghamton basketball. Played at UMBC last night. Somehow I thought that was tonight, but it was last night. The producer and director of the game, which was, I guess, on television, right? Or maybe it was just on radio. I don't know. They're here, and they informed me that Binghamton lost.
Hmm.
They lost at UMBC. We were up 3, they told me. Then we were down 20. Then we closed, but we lost. Doing the color on the game was John Feinstein,
none other,
who apparently took
John
a shot Feinstein at me.
Junior.
Took a shot at me, which is fair because it's true. He said that Flo from the Progressive Insurance commercials, Stephanie, and I've forgotten Stephanie's last name. She and I've never met, but she's a Binghamton grad.
Right.
She's far more famous than I am.
That was the shot.
Yeah.
That
it's not even a shot because it's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Sure.
What other news do you have, Nigel?
Lots of
news. We've only won one league game now.
Yeah, no.
This is sad. I thought we'd be better. I did.
Right now, currently last in the American East, behind Maine and UMass Lowell.
Nowhere to go but up.
Off
or
to such a promising start, though. But yeah, such a good start to the season.
This was the year I thought we'd be pretty good. But we're not.
Yeah. What was? I'm trying to look at the box score for last night.
Doesn't matter.
You don't care what WeRod did?
I don't care.
Yeah.
WeRod.
Yeah, WeRod. Only 6 points, 0-4 from the line.
We call that pulling an auto.
Yeah.
The funny thing about college kids, and I always remind myself, is like when a guy's in a slump, it could be like having trouble with his girlfriend or something. I mean, just remember when you were 18, 19.
Chemistry exam or something like that.
We have ice cubes all over the floor.
Nigel just looked at it now.
He's just moving the trash from one place to another place.
Well, we know the floor.
It all melts.
Whereas Gary and I responsibly sat and did nothing.
Right.
Well, Tony spilled.
We know the floor holds water because it gets wet every time it rains. So we just figured push it on the floor.
Well, I figured it was better to get it away from these things called wires with electricity.
Yeah, I
guess. That was just my thinking.
I figured I would sit here until someone else solved the problem.
And then and then criticize whatever decision they made.
Yeah, I believe that's known as journalism, Nigel.
What else?
Mr. Tony, there is a lot of upset people about the All-Star game and some snubs. Westbrook has been lashing out. Why did Damian Lillard get in? And Damian Lillard was like, well, it's because I think I'm actually having a pretty good year and I think I'm a pretty good player. The Rockets are upset that Chris Paul didn't go.
Chris Paul missed a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond didn't get picked.
He responded
with like 30 points,
34 and 20.
Yeah.
Or 30 and 24.
30 and 24.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, is this much ado about nothing?
Yes.
It really is.
Does it create any intrigue for you, though, in watching the game? I mean, I think it, like, especially the Westbrook thing to me, he's always interesting.
Westbrook, I believe what will happen in the All-Star game is that Westbrook will try to score 200 points. To prove that
he's so true.
To prove he should have been a starter and that everybody he wants on the team should be on the team.
Right.
I think if you're a teammate of Westbrook's, you can just sit down and watch him.
So I saw yesterday on Twitter a statistic reported about John Wall that I found absolutely unbelievable. I'm curious if either of you guys heard this or could verify it.
I think an email that sent us about this is about how much he stands around.
Yeah, the notion that 76.7% of the time that he is on the court, he is either standing or walking. on a basketball court 3/4 of the time. And he is...
Well, he's so fast.
I think he's first.
That he gets to where he wants to be faster than anybody else.
Defensively, you would think you would be not standing or walking.
There's a bunch of stories now. The Washington Post never once reported that people had any problems with anybody on the team. That there's not been... Whoever has covered this team has never reported what J.J. Barea said, that nobody likes Wall. And I'm not suggesting that nobody likes Wall. Maybe everybody likes Wall.
But they haven't reported it.
No. And suddenly, there is this onslaught, avalanche, of stories about what's wrong with the Wizards.
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody knows.
Well, you know,
they don't know.
You know there's trouble when you say, how's everything going? And the answer is, well, we were all right till that players only meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's never a good
thing. Until we spent time with each other.
So there's something there, and we don't know what it is. Stephen A. Smith, of course, thinks he knows what it is because that's his job.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the email from the little Jared Schofer, this is the quote he has. John Wall spent 77% of his time on the court either standing still or walking. This is the highest among all rotation players of the NBA. Even 40-year-old Dirk Nowitzki is ahead of him in this category.
No. Yeah, and Dirk barely moves anymore.
I mean, anyway.
Okay. Also in the association, Kevin Durant was, I know you love that phrase.
the leg.
Kevin Durant was ejected from a game Tuesday night against the Knicks and ripped the official James Williams for targeting him.
Crushed him.
Yeah.
Said he'd been waiting for me the whole game.
Yeah, so the second half, his whole nonsense. Thing is like he's trying to get me.
Right.
But then yesterday...
Then he went home.
maybe I should walk this
he
back
said,
a little
he
bit.
He said, I'm a diva, and he said it's my fault, and it's not anybody else's fault.
Yeah.
We were talking about, yesterday, we were going to do this story. We ended up doing it, but 20 or 30 minutes before we're going to tape, Durant walks the thing back, as Nigel said. And that kills the story. I mean, we do it, but it's not. It has no power. My own feeling is that if you watch Golden State play, they're really good. They're really better than everybody else. At their best, nobody can beat them. And I think people like Durant and Curry and Green, I think they feel, leave us alone, referees. We're so good that the rules don't apply to us. Right. We're that good. And I actually think they are that good when they're really good. And Durant's been thrown out of four games already.
That's crazy.
Really?
Now,
if you go through the rosters of every other team in the league, the other 29 teams, the total of people thrown out from those other 29 teams on an individual team basis is not four. In other words,
team... he's been thrown out more times than any team has entire ejections.
Yes.
They've only played 48 games. I mean, that's nearly 10%
I know
of the time, you know?
And I know he said after, he's like...
He's a great player.
He said, that's not me. I shouldn't be
it
that
is
guy.
Him.
But
no,
apparently
it is him.
Did he
it
have this reputation before he got to Golden State?
No, he didn't. And I think part of this could be just sort of pressure and backlash, and he just sort of feels all that.
He's also no worse than a second or third best player in all of basketball.
I think he is tremendously interesting and thoughtful. I don't know if you've ever listened to Bill's podcast with him. Bill Simmons has done
It's Mr. Simmons to you.
That's so true. Mr. Bill Simmons has done like four sit-downs with him of more than an hour, and he's very sort of introspective and smart.
He got very chesty for a year or two.
He, for no reason.
Yeah, attacked the media, like which have always been nice to him.
I was listening yesterday, and you were talking about Popovich and how you hate him because of the way he treats support, and I'm the exact same way. It's like somebody's just trying to do their job.
But I think he's worthy. He's a great coach.
No question. Yep. But Durant, to me, is interestingly sort of transparent about sort of how he thinks, and he is thoughtful. Like, it's odd. It's an odd mix of the throwing out and that.
But do you not think there's been a slight personality shift with his move out west? Because I think he was genuinely surprised by the amount of criticism.
Got a lot of criticism. Yes. But I thought on the court last year in the playoffs, he showed, hey, leave me alone.
It's pretty good.
I'm the best guy out here right now.
Yeah.
So,
anyway. The last statement he had in this is, I wish I could apologize to James, the ref.
Well, he could.
I was like, of course you can.
Yeah, just say, I apologize.
Sure you could call somebody up and get his phone number in about 5 minutes, and you can just say, hey, I'm sorry. Now, I know you talked about the betting in the NBA with Jay Billis. Did you want to expand on that, the cut that the NBA wants to
they
get
They want
1%
of all the action, and that would be billions of dollars.
Yes.
And they should get it. Why should you sit passively by and let somebody else make money off your product?
But on what grounds can they?
This is what
1% of every bet.
Or what? I mean, what leverage do they have?
I don't know.
This is what NBA senior vice president Dan Spillane.
Yeah, somebody should come back at them and say you get nothing and like it.
He said without.
And they could say, okay, well, we'll start shaving points. We'll see how you like that.
We won't play.
He said without our games and fans, there would be no sports betting. That is his rationale for it.
Well, the NBA?
Okay. Yeah.
No, there would be sports betting.
Yeah, but
there's betting on football. There's 10 times the amount of money bet on football.
You know, Leonsis has been in the news recently. Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Wizards and Caps, because he has shared his view of what the future of sports looks like, and at least in his leagues, he thinks the future of sports is people sitting in the arena betting on the events on a play-by-play basis, yeah. Yes.
Well,
interactively.
I mean, NBA wants that.
And you can now bet, I know in the NFL, I don't know in other things, but you can now bet by quarter, you can bet at halftime.
Yeah, sure.
I
do that forever.
It's amazing.
No, but he's talking about like
play-by-play?
Next possession. Will the Wizards
score?
NBA
won't the Wizards score? The NBA is
who
saying
makes
that.
The next jump
They're
shot.
Saying right on your smartphone.
Yeah.
So that's immediate. So
and that's and that, by the way, will make the money they are making now look like
nothing.
Oh,
my gosh.
So we don't need any more. Is that, you got anything more?
The Farmers Insurance Open.
Tiger today.
Yeah. Tees off at 1:40 p.m.
Yeah, we're not going to get it on PTI.
Are you playing this weekend?
I'm going to try and play Saturday.
I'm going to try to play tomorrow. Do you think it's too cold?
No.
If there's no wind,
right?
If there's no wind, it's not too cold.
You got to want it, bro.
I have jobs tomorrow. Yeah.
That's not my problem.
And no. I just wanted to close with this. I don't know if you saw the news. there have been a lot of shows that have been rebooted. Will and Grace, Roseanne, X-Files. Well, that's the point. Murphy Brown is going to get rebooted. And all these shows, and Listen Up, isn't getting any love. I wonder if there's somebody we can call on this.
Yeah, Listen Up on any good.
These show reboots.
I mean, that's Brown, really?
Murphy Brown is coming back, yes.
I'm sure that
is
will
Eldon
be
Is Eldon still the painter?
It said, I think that actor passed away. But CBS announced it's bringing him back. It is committed to 13 episodes, which will air in the 2018-19 season.
How about the news yesterday that Elton John announced he is retiring to spend more time with his husband and children as soon as he finishes his 3-year world tour.
Yeah.
That's not really retirement at all, then, is it?
Boeheim-esque. I'm retiring after the 2080 season.
Right.
All right. Let's get out of here, and we'll come back with Old Guy Radio. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is I've Just Seen a Face. This is a Paul song. Why are we playing this?
No reason.
We like it.
We just
because it's amazing.
Just like
it.
Yes.
Is this on Revolver?
This album is on Help.
Revolver.
Oh no, I'm sorry. The album Help.
No.
We're checking.
The UK album. Yes. It is
Revolver, I think.
It's on Help.
Okay. I love it.
Yep.
I don't know all the albums. The songs on all the albums.
U.S. Rubber
no,
Soul.
No, Rubber
sorry.
Soul.
Rubber
yeah.
Soul.
Yes.
Okay.
U.S. Rubber
UK
Soul.
Help.
Amazing how a piece of music can just change your whole
love it.
Mood. You
know? In terms of critical commentary, it has nothing to do with the Beatles now. They are advertising the Grammys, which will be on this coming Sunday. I don't know anybody they're advertising.
Right.
Little Yachty?
I don't know who any of these people are.
Yachty.
Want to feel old in the culture, you're my age and you watch the Grammys.
ASAP.
Tony.
I mean,
Tony
at this point, the
but
only
be,
thing
be
I can think of...
my age and watch the Grammys.
Yeah, the only I can think of is Grammys is it'd be a whole bunch of grandmas walking across the stage. Because I don't know who these people are.
By the way, one quick note about that song. Before they actually recorded it and McCartney was getting it together, the song was briefly titled Auntie Jen's Theme after his father's youngest sister because it was one of her favorite songs. And then they said, nah, that really
He's
doesn't
put
work.
Auntie Jen when he was with Wings. He used Auntie Jen in some things. okay, there's some things I want to talk about. I want to do Larry Nassar here. I want to first of all tell you to access the Washington Post and read Sally Jenkins. Washington Post today understood the jewel they had in Sally Jenkins, and they call attention on the front page of the sports section to Sally Jenkins. And I'm just going to read a paragraph. A national organization with the initials USA on it forced young girls to submit to pelvic exams by a child molester. Just that one sentence is enough to tell you how great this piece is. Literally hundreds of them were isolated in mandatory camps and were repeatedly assaulted by a barehanded pedophile for years on end, while nobody cared to notice that no decent doctor would perform such an exam on young girls, much less ungloved. Where in the fresh red hell is an independent investigation into USA Gymnastics, and why isn't Congress threatening to smash the U.S. Olympic Committee's charter into pieces with a gavel over this? And it gets better. Again, I mean, you heard Sally on this show yesterday.
She was great.
I went home, because ESPN, and they were correct, ESPN showed that hearing yesterday, the sentencing hearing, the last day of
all
it.
All the cable showed sentencing. It, by the way, too.
So good. Well,
yes.
You know, I was on ESPN. And I watched all of that, and I thought, and we mentioned this yesterday, the bravery of the women who went up there and confronted this doctor. Over 100 women, and you know that well over 100 women, if not 200 other women, didn't do it because they couldn't do it. Because not everybody can get up there and do that and relive some part of their lives that is so incredibly painful that they don't want to relive it. So there's many more women than the women who were in that courtroom. And the sentence is what the sentence is. I mean, he's never getting out of jail. But the things that I thought of as I was watching it, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on PTI, and not much, and we hadn't dealt with this story because it honestly doesn't fit the format of our show. It is not a back and forth. It is not, you know, well, I disagree with your point, Dan. It's not, no, because we agree completely how sinful this is. And there are other words that you could use, and I choose to use the word sinful. But I was thinking, my experience with the Penn State football program and what happened there, I was thinking, well, how does the president of Michigan State, and I didn't know it was a man or a woman, how does he or she survive this? I mean, you're in charge when this happens. Whether or not you are guilty, and we could draw a distinction here, you are culpable.
Absolutely.
You know, this is the great scene. Again, I'll say this a million times. If you haven't seen Three Billboards from Ebbing, Missouri, there is a scene in it which is worth the price of admission, in which Frances McDormand confronts a priest who's sitting in her kitchen and talks about culpability.
Yes,
and
it's brilliant.
So the Michigan State University president, she quit last night.
Yep.
And she had to. Yep. I mean, it's because it's not tenable. Because of when Penn State happened, I thought if I had children of college age, I would not send them to Penn State. I would say find another school because I don't know that you're safe there. And I would say that, excuse me, right now about Michigan State. Find another school because an administration that, and without saying the administration knew, or without saying the administration did anything to further it, I would just say no.
No, it's no, their job.
You can't go there.
It's their job to know and act
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, you can't go there.
This,
right. And USA Gymnastics, burn it to the ground. Yep. Okay, so, and will innocent people go down with it? Yes, they will. That's the price in this. That's what's going to happen. You have to get rid of all, you have to get rid of it. Anyone that was involved, anyone that was there, and the USOC is calling for this, I think it probably extends to the USOC too. And I think Sally thinks that as well, that it's not just gymnastics,
well, clearly,
that people so, had to turn a blind eye. Now, the part of me, the difficult part for me, and I do, you guys were not here yesterday, is, you know, the rational part of me says, how could you not know? But it's possible. It's possible you did not know. But I don't know how that's possible. I don't know. Did the girls not talk to their parents?
According to the reporting that I have read, and I have not seen anything specifically about the girls talking to their parents, but the
so
girls...
Over so many
in,
years,
in fact,
so
I
many
say,
girls.
1997, one of the first girls to report it was a college athlete at Michigan State,
who was the last speaker yesterday.
Who reported
yesterday.
It to her coach, yes. Who essentially said, you know, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
This guy's one of the best doctors there is. So it gets really gray as to,
who knew?
Like, yeah, as to who,
I don't
who
know.
Knew. But then you hear Sally talk about, and this was news to me, what's in these agreements that these families make with this guy, and the notion that this guy had sort of unfettered access.
You could not have another doctor. You could only have that doctor.
And you had to let him in your room at the middle of the night, a little girl, you know, if he comes knocking. It's just like, it's insane.
And seems insane.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a horrible and borderline inappropriate analogy. I don't mean to sound insensitive to it, but in some ways for me, I have the same reaction to the story that you that we talked about. You have it in the movie Get Out. It's just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't even go there. It's so... It's so. Why are you throwing your palms up?
No. I agree.
Okay,
I agree.
And it's just like I can't. I mean, I'm not. I'm insufficient. I'm a weak person. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is on me. This is a me problem. It's not an issue problem. Maybe it's having a daughter of that age. But it's just. It's so unthinkable. It's so inhuman. It's
and it went on and on and on and on and
forever.
On and on.
Forever.
Yeah. So. I assume that everyone connected with him. I mean, in terms of, I don't know, like the head of the medical school at Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, you have, that is a root and branch type situation. I mean, you just can't, I guess I'm more cynical than you. I don't see how that the sheer volume of people involved, that no one in administration had ever heard this about him, at which point you don't necessarily fire him, but you do conduct an internal investigation.
Well,
you do maybe stop saying, let's stop sending girls to him until we get
what
this
needs
sorted
to be figured out.
I mean,
is how and why, I understand his reasoning, but how and why did he acquire this power? Like, why was that granted to him? Yeah. On what grounds?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, he had unfettered access and solitary access. I mean, what are you doing?
And what are you doing? Mandated access.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't avoid him.
You know, is there a conspiracy of silence because people want the medals that much? It's possible. That's part of it. It's possible.
The Penn State example, I mean, over time it became clear that for all the people saying, like, oh, I never suspect anything, that there had been stories, there had been complaints.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was kind of like, well, you know, that's Jerry being Jerry. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's not a direct analog, right? But I do think that that example suggests that because I remember we were talking about, like, how could no one have known about this? And it came out, at least in that situation, that lots of people, I don't know if they knew, certainly didn't know all the details, but there was an inkling.
There was a
no
suspicion.
One was like, oh my gosh, Jerry?
There was a suspicion.
Right.
I don't know if that was true about this guy, Larry Nassar.
Right.
I don't know.
But that suggests to me that, and you're talking about more people involved in this, more victims.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds.
Right.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh. And I think one of the things that came out is the guy, and it was the guy that actually was the gym coach, was it Gebbett or something like that? He was such a tyrant. And they worked together, him and the doctor, and they were actually quite close friends, that the girls were terrified of the gym coach. They didn't want to say anything about the doctor for fear of incurring the wrath of the gym coach.
Yes, and this is what Sally was talking about, that the zeal to perform well,
right,
that somebody very, very young would just say, well, this is the price pay. This is what happens. They would have no experience with anyone else to think, well, this is really weird. They might think it's really weird, but they would sort of shrug and say, I want to be on this
and
team. This is all I know.
And also, I think it's important to remember, these are not even 18-year-olds.
Right.
I mean, you're talking
12
about
and 13.
10, 11, 12. I mean, it's really, they're fourth, fifth, sixth graders. They're not high school juniors who would have some sense.
And by the way, in most cases, they're tiny.
Yeah.
They're tiny little things.
I mean, the guy's a monster. I mean,
so
it's just,
anyway, yeah. I don't have much more except to commend the Sally.
Well, and let me I'll say this in closing. I mean, Sally brought up a great point yesterday, which I hope is the case: is USA Gymnastics, in her opinion, USOC, in her opinion, feel like once he goes away, they can say, okay, good, now that's done.
I don't know.
Let's hope that's not the case.
I don't know.
I mean, let's hope they...
I mean,
there's something systemic
here. If I'm the parent now of a very young girl who is taken with gymnastics, I'm very leery of that sport. Because I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to believe that this is an isolated incident, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I look at the USOC and I look at the gymnastics and I go, I don't know. I don't know, but let's go to another sport. Right? Don't you feel that way if you're a young girl?
It suggests that there's a systemic level of either looking the other way or corruption.
And again, there probably are going to be some people who lose their jobs over this that did not know and had nothing to do with it, but that's what happens.
That's the
nature of it. That's what happens. I not only think your position is defensible, I would say I don't know how you could look at something so pervasive at such a high level and have any confidence in that sport.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. So I was going to talk at great length about my cable bill and why I need another cable company.
Oh, that sounds like
I'm not doing
that. That sounds like a good segment,
folks.
Bill.
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
I'm just going to tell you that my most recent cable bill, and this is for television services and internet, I guess.
And phone.
Phone.
I guess.
Bundle.
I think phone.
The bundle.
It's $325.
No.
That's really a lot.
That's
a lot. Isn't that a lot?
Unless you're buying a ton of movies or something.
I'm not buying anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that a lot?
Yes. Too much.
Isn't that right? It doesn't matter that I have that. It's too much money.
Right. No, it's too much for that bill.
Are you getting your Facebook subscription in there as well?
No, well, I don't subscribe to the Facebook or to the Hulu or to Slingbox. What is that?
It's a way to watch your TV, what's on your television when you're not there.
Yeah, when you're anywhere.
When I don't have a television?
No, but if you're like on the road. Tony, like if you're on the road and you're like, I really got to watch.
Is that right? Never on the road. Isn't that really billing question basically the same every month? I mean, mine's the same every month and it's about 240.
Mine's gone up recently.
Okay.
And you haven't added anything.
No, Carol says it's because we had discounts the first 2 years.
They always give you those discounts.
Oh, okay, well, hang on.
I want more discounts.
So here's the deal. So you just so essentially you've gone from a fixed term to like a month to month.
Can we do this another day?
Yeah, sure.
Because I'll get more information.
He's going to go long. Yeah,
though. I don't want you know how I hate to see you waste money.
I'm wasting money here.
Yeah, and no, but
I don't want a Kickstarter. Right. I don't want anybody who listens to say, here's 10 cents.
I'm happy to have a Kickstarter.
I don't want that. We will come back with email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The possum's gone the morning after. Should not have left him overnight. He was not dead, just taking down time. To bury him would not be right. So he'd not gone to the hereafter. The possum's trick he did perform. Can't you hear the possum's laughter? Waiting in that trash can, safe and warm. We were too late, but it's still living. Mike, grab the shovel for next time.
This is written by John Fitzpatrick and performed by Kirsten Ohnstadt, and it's brilliant. And John writes, I love when Tony repeats the classic stories. Who doesn't love a reference to Lee Smith's Electricity in Your Building?
You got no electricity in your house?
Who knew Tony was in the end zone for the Doug Flutie Hail Mary?
Oh, yeah.
And was Ben Bradley a lion of a man? I hear that he was. Well, imagine my delight when TK resurrected the possum story. See what I did there last week? I mean, that one is so old. When it happened, I'll bet all the Big East schools were in the East. Anyway, other than me, one thing older than the story is the song I based the jingle on. It's from the Poseidon Adventure, for crying out loud. But it seemed cheesy enough for the occasion, as she always does. Kirsten Ohnstadt did a killer job singing on this track. Honestly, she's too good for this jingle stuff. When I'm done, and it could be tonight.
You mean when it's over for you?
Yeah, I mean, I do repeat myself a million times. We also have new listeners, but the stories are... I mean, come on, it's an opossum, for God's sake.
No one could blame you for repeating that story.
Let me thank Jay Billis for coming on the show. Let me thank today's sponsors, the new one, Brooklinen, and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jim Flynn, rather, in Colebrook, Connecticut. Is that near you? Colebrook, Connecticut?
I think so. It sounds like it.
Tony, don't feel bad.
The last part, particularly.
Yes. Tony, don't feel bad. Sad. Many pro scouts consider UMass Lowell the cradle of NBA stars. Oh, wait, that's Kentucky. My mistake. From Andy in Jersey City, listening to Liz worry about the cold weather in Korea reminded me of a story of an old board op and Korean War veteran I worked with telling me about his time in the Korean Peninsula. He said it got so cold there in the winter that you could not ice skate outdoors because ice skating involved a certain amount of melted ice, otherwise known as water, under your skate blade on which you glide. If it's cold enough, then that little bit of melted ice is an impossibility, and it's essentially like skating on
concrete.
So
my Kazakh friends tell me when it gets to 25 below Celsius, which it is currently.
Oh my God!
You need to Vaseline your teeth if you go outside. Otherwise the enamel can crack up. Yeah, and you had a great line Tuesday, which you didn't realize, in talking about your Lillehammer jacket. Which you said, still works.
Yeah, still works.
It's very interesting that your coat still works.
Well, Andrew Bracewell writes, Dear Bootsy Relation, I was shocked and befuddled this morning when I put on the podcast. I learned that the furlough breakfast of Cheddar had ended after only one day.
Yeah.
While still trying to recover from this news, I was knocked down yet again upon hearing that as a resident of Vancouver, I was in imminent danger of a tsunami, turning my fourth floor apartment into a waterfront grotto. As I grappled with this terrifying revelation and packed the only thing I knew I'd need, an atomic lighter, I was floored yet for a third time to discover the tsunami was of Asian descent, emanating from the great Asian nation of Alaska. Luckily, the warning was rescinded, and peace and tranquility were restored to Western continental North America, or far, far Eastern Asia, as it is referred to by those in the know. It's a brilliant email. Yes. By the way, the atomic lighter, which I maintain is very good.
Right.
If you watch ESPN now, as I do in the morning,
it's
the
on
special ops sunglasses.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tactical. It's on a loop. It's on nine times.
They work.
There's special ops.
Well, there's also another set of sunglasses that I've seen that is like, it's a guy with a tattoo, and he puts them on. They like change. They're like yellow light glasses.
Yeah, those are different. Those are different.
Those also intrigue.
But they're also tactical, and they're also special
tattoo.
Ops. Sully from Michael Sullivan. Please don't presume that Boston loves Neil Diamond because of Sweet Caroline. We're fine with Neil Diamond, but the real fans hate Sweet Caroline. Not because it's a mediocre tune, but because the Red Sox play it no matter what the game situation happens to be. Blow a 4-run lead right before the bottom of the eighth, play Sweet Caroline. Why? Because the plebeian fans who go to Fenway to say they were at Fenway and don't care about the game are now drunk and want to go bah, 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 and then leave early.
I think it's more of a bah, bah.
Although
bah.
I'm sure you can appreciate the leaving early part. It's really a blight on a Red Sox game for most at this point.
Yeah.
Bob Ryan can confirm this if you ever talk to him again. P.S. Eat it, Lace. Bah, bah, bah. Wow.
It's like, by the way, it's eaten. And it's also like, yeah. It's also like it's when eaten. People bring the beach ball out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are like, look, there's a beach ball over there. I'm like, watch the game. It's a 2-1.
Finish your wine.
Two and one count. Potential infield fly rules on here, kids.
Ryan in Montreal, given your love of astronomy, would you have preferred the shape of water if the fish man was from Uranus? Look, I can't.
It's never not funny.
If it wins for best picture, I guess I'll watch it. But it is a mute making love to a fish man.
Don't even watch it if it wins.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Thanks, everybody.
been dreaming of the day of judgment and wondering what I'll say. For the seasons I lost to sorrow, the sin of my wasted days. For the beauty I should have noticed, the kindness I did not give. For the body I took for granted, the life that I could have lived. Hell up at the gates of heaven, hell up before the light. Stretched out till it was transparent, there was nothing I could hide. The preacher he talks of glory, streets to be paved in gold. Got a book and he got a story, and we all have heard it told. Well, I wonder how I came to thinking that he's speaking for someone above. Cause the only road I know is true. There's no limit to the reach of love. There's no limit to the reach of love. Held up at the gates of heaven. Held up before the light. Stretched out till it was transparent. There was nothing I could hide. Sent back to the living world. I got so much more to learn. But everybody makes the same mistakes, and everybody takes their turn. How can you sit in judgment? How do you cast that stone? When everybody is a sinner, and everybody feels alone. Well, brother, you ain't so broken. Sister, you ain't so small. Well, everybody leaves together. Well, nobody goes at all. Hell up at the gate of heaven. Hell up before the light. Stretched out till it was transparent. There was nowhere I could hide. I sent back to the living world. I got so much more to learn. Everybody makes the same mistakes, and everybody waits their turn. Everybody makes the same mistakes, and everybody takes their turn.